When it comes to financial advice, you gotta trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. When I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. Before NerdWallet, I was paying for vacations all wrong. I was missing out on miles. I didn't even know I was leaving on the table. Now I've got a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? I don't know, maybe that fancy hotel upgrade that you have always been dreaming about. Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. I'm going to be real with you. Identity theft is on the rise, and you do not want to wake up one morning and discover that your bank account has been emptied, or you're overdue on credit cards you never even applied for. We talk about this often on the podcast, but you don't realize how much of your information is available to scammers on the internet and how susceptible you and your family are to identity theft and fraud. I know, it's scary, but now you can get your data removed with Delete Me. That's why I personally choose Delete Me. Delete Me is a subscription service that removes your personal information from the largest people search databases on the web, and in the process helps prevent potential ID theft, doxing, and phishing scams. I just started using Delete Me and I got my regular personalized privacy report. And I was shocked what they found and removed. It was pages of information about me that I did not want online. Here's how it works. You sign up and provide Delete Me with exactly what information you want deleted, and their experts take it from there. I cannot tell you how relieved I felt to have Delete Me. And you know, it's also a great service for your parents or grandparents to help protect them from identity theft. Delete Me is not just a one-time service. Delete Me is always working for you, constantly monitoring and removing the personal information you do not want on the internet. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special price for my listeners. Today, get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use promo code ETM at checkout. The only way you get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and enter code ETM at checkout. joindeleteme.com/ETM. Go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use code ETM for 20% off.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What should you do first? Do you invest? Pay off debt? Buy a house? Open a Roth? Start a side hustle, buy a business. In this solo episode, I share insights from 10 different people on what they think you should do with money if you only do one thing. Hey friend, welcome back to Everyone's Talkin' Money. I am your host, Shauna, and on this show, we talk about the other side of money. Yeah, we do all the classic money tips, but we mix them with a deeper understanding of your relationship with money so you can ultimately create long-lasting change and progress towards your money goals. How does that sound to you? I think it sounds pretty good. Well, I wanted to do something fun for this solo episode. I know I usually do solo episodes on Fridays, but I actually went out and I talked to 10 experts in all types of fields, career, money, psychology, food, intimacy, and more. And I asked them this one simple question. If you only do one thing with your money, what is your do this or don't do this advice? And I have to tell you, this was so much fun for me because it was really intriguing to see everybody's responses around money. And I promised them I would keep their names anonymous. But for context of this episode and the advice, I'm going to let you know what type of expert they are. Not that it really matters, but I think it's just kind of fun to know. And I went out on the streets of where I live, and I went hunting for these different types of experts. For money, I couldn't find any money experts that I came in contact with over this period of time that I did this little exercise. So I actually called upon some of my money expert friends to fill in some of the blanks. But I think why I really wanted to do this is because there's a lot of confusion around money, around what do you do first? What steps do you take and in what order? And I think it can be really confusing and ultimately lead to a place of just either money avoidance or you have some sort of freeze around money where you just don't do anything. And I understand it because there feels like a lot of pressure to make the quote unquote right money decision, to make good choices with your money. And if you don't make good choices with your money, like, things are just not going to be good, right? There's not going to be a good outcome. And so I want to lower the temperature a little bit for you. And I also just wanted to use this episode as something fun for you to kind of get out of your regular train of thinking around money. So the first piece of advice, I went to a career expert and they said, if you only do this, they want you to never, ever undervalue how much you charge or your worth and to always fight for the highest salary and don't be afraid to leave a job if they don't pay you what you're worth. I love this piece of advice and you've heard it a lot on the show. We've had a lot of different money experts come on and talk about knowing your worth and negotiating. Jacqueline Twilley is one of my very favorite. She has so many amazing books around this subject. She is a negotiation expert. And she talks a lot about you've got to know and value your worth because if you don't value your worth, nobody else will. And particularly when you're in a career situation or when you're charging for your products and services, of course, everybody wants to hire you at the lowest possible salary, and people want to pay the lowest possible price for your services. But that actually does not work to help move you up financially. So there's a lot of just kind of gunk that gets in the way. And so it was really interesting because this career expert, she was so emphatic about this idea of walking away from a job if they don't pay you what you're worth. And I thought how scary that might be in a situation, particularly when you really need that job, to be able to stand up and say, this is what I'm worth. And if you're not willing to pay me this, then I'm going to go find another job that will. She also followed that sentiment up with, like, you know, if you're applying for a job and let's say that the average salary is $100,000 and you're asking $500,000, okay, that's a little bit ridiculous. But within context, I hope you understand. The next piece of advice, this came from a different career expert. And they said, reach out to your HR department and ask them what other benefits you have available that you aren't using. I want everybody to mine those benefits because they can be really juicy. I'm talking about discounts, paid certifications and degrees, time off when you adopt a baby, etc. I like this piece of advice because we just easily get into the frame of thinking of, okay, what are my 401k benefits? Are they going to offer a match? What is my salary? And what does my time off look like? But a lot of companies offer a lot of benefits that you might not be aware of that probably a lot of people aren't actually utilizing. So she particularly talked about paid certifications and degrees that a lot of companies will pay for you to learn more about your particular industry or your particular career that you're in, or they might send you for a certification or a degree that might actually help advance you in the company, but that a lot of people don't actually utilize those benefits or even know they're available. So she said, you know, the best thing you can do is reach out to your human resource department and say, hey, are there benefits available to me that I don't know about, or maybe I'm not utilizing, and just see what those are. She said sometimes it's thousands and thousands of dollars of benefits available that people just don't know about and they're not using. So I thought that was a really good tip. I really like that one. The third one comes from a therapist. She had a lot of really juicy things to say, but this was what I picked out. She said, I want you to sit down with your partner and create a list of how you want to use money as a couple. Be as detailed as possible. Think about charity, loaning money to friends. What about money that goes to parents and their care? Do you value travel or do you want to save for a baby? What will you openly spend money on that isn't some sort of guilty money splurge? I like that she used that word because I use that often. That you're going to make the other partner pay for. What are your boundaries around what you will ask to spend money on and what you can just spend yourself? She said, this is the most important step in creating a healthy, loving money partnership with your partner. I love this advice. And I actually started utilizing this myself after I heard her say this. So it's this idea of creating kind of a rule book, if you will, with your partner about lots of different things around money. So what are we going to spend money on? What do we value? What happens when this situation comes up? How much money do we want to send to charities? What happens when a friend asks to borrow money? Do we expect them to repay it? What are the terms? What happens if one of our parents gets sick and they need us to financially step in and provide money for care? What can we spend money on? What can we not spend money on? All of these things I was thinking, I was like, wow, if every couple sat down and did this exercise and thought about this from the beginning, there would be a lot less confusion around money. And I think a lot less feelings of panic, of fear, of judgment, of all the things that get in the way of you having this healthy relationship with your partner. So if you're in a relationship, try it. See what can happen. I know it's kind of a scary proposition to think about doing this, but I think the rewards and the benefits far outweigh the maybe, I don't know, weird feelings that you might have with your partner, especially if you've never sat down and you've never talked about money in this kind of context. The next one comes from a mental health expert. And interestingly, she said, my piece of advice would be to please start investing early. If I would have just put money into a Roth when I was in my early 20s, I would have enough money to leave my job, which I don't love, and start my own practice with ease. I kick myself for not doing that. So please do that for me. Again, she was very emphatic. It's everyone I talked to was like very strong in their advice. If you only do this one thing. And she expressed this deep sense of regret that she did not start saving money early enough and that mathematically, if she had, she would have a lot more options now available to her, but she doesn't have those options available to her. And in fact, she's dealing with a lot of shame around money because she did not make these choices. So she gave me that piece of advice. Then I kind of turned the tables on her and talked with her about a lot of the things that I talked to you about on this show, which is that your thoughts and feelings are so critically important to the action steps that you take with your money. And although you cannot rewind and do things differently, I really wish we could because I have a laundry list of things I would do differently around money. I don't know about you, but I definitely do. We can't rewind, no matter how much we want to. So why are we going to spend time overthinking about the past? Why are we going to spend time panicked about what you did or didn't do with money? Why don't we look at the future, about today, the present moment and going forward? What can you do differently? Okay, so maybe you didn't start investing. Can you do something today? Can you find an extra $20, $100, whatever it is in your bank account and open that Roth IRA and put some money into one of the funds and just start today? I don't know about you, but that feels a lot better. It feels healthier I know that our brain wants us just kind of stay stuck in all of those negative aspects around money. So we have to really work proactively to change that. Okay, the next piece of advice, interesting. I was so excited I found a sex expert. And I was really interested in what she had to say. I picked her brain for quite a long time because, yeah, I'm deeply interested in how you can have a better sex life. I don't know who isn't, if I'm going to be honest. She said this, money can make or break a relationship. And it those feelings can bleed over into the bedroom easily, and especially for women, but also men who might not earn as much have a lot of these feelings that bleed over into the bedroom. It's complex, let's just say that. So she says, do this. Figure out what stresses you out the most about money and see if you can come up with some easy steps to de-stress yourself every day. Sometimes just forgetting about money for a while is a great prescription, she said, and is going to lead to having better sex. So she talked about this idea of if, you know, the time has come, you're with your partner, you know that moment's happening or that moment's going to happen, or you schedule that moment to happen, depending on where you are in your relationship. I am 12 years in, 10 years into a marriage, and sometimes, yeah, we have to calendar it out. All right, I'm just gonna come clean with you. So she said, if you find yourself feeling any of these emotions around money, around the time that you're going to have sex, she gave a lot of different things you could do. One, she said she loves journaling. Just write out your feelings, get them out of your head, and tell yourself that I do not have to think about those thoughts and feelings around money right now. Right now is the time to actually connect with my partner. So that's one thing. She said another thing is, yes, you can share with your partner, hey, I'm feeling really stressed out about money. You know, I don't know if I can relax. Can we sit and listen to some music or have a conversation about something other than money? She said even just cooking a meal with your partner will help kind of jog your brain out of thinking about money. But she said that she finds a lot of women that come to her and that express, you know, there is this divide between the sex life that my partner wants to have and the sex life that I want to have. She gets into these conversations with them about identity, about authenticity, about money, about career, about all of these elements that just, again, get in the way of you feeling sexy, you feeling like, yeah, okay, I feel really good about myself. So I find this advice really interesting. And like I said, I picked her brain for a very long time, probably longer than she wanted. But I think that this is a part of our relationship with money that we don't talk about often, is how does it get in the way of you being a human, you living your life? I know that this is something that I've struggled with a lot. Money can become so big in my world. And understandably, because it's how you pay for things, it's how you move in the world, and there's this great fear of not having enough money, but it stops me particularly from having fun, from enjoying a moment, from enjoying life. So something I've been working on over the last year plus myself is allowing myself to have fun regardless of money, like regardless of the money situation. Can I enjoy myself in this moment? Can I be present in this moment? Can I connect with my partner, or my dog, or my friends, whatever it might be, without thinking about money, without thinking about my career, without thinking about all of those things? And I'm not perfect at it by any means. I have a long way to go. But I am starting to recognize those moments where I'm like, okay, things feel a little lighter. Okay, all right, maybe I can do this. So I don't know. Just a little experiment, particularly if you're wanting to spice things up a little bit in your bedroom, is seeing how you can maybe de-stress yourself about money before that situation comes up. In those moments when money is just not moving as fast as your dreams, Earnin provides the financial momentum you need to keep moving forward. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. You just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then you access up to $100 a day as you work, and you can leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. I honestly would use Earnin in lots of different ways, but what's on my mind recently is I need a night out. I need some good tacos to sip on a few virgin margaritas and celebrate you all helping this podcast earn 26 million downloads. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, "When I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. Gives me a lot of peace of mind." Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in "Talkin' Money" under podcast when you sign up. It will really help the show. "Talkin' Money" under podcast. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank, subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank & Trust, member FDIC. The weather is getting warmer. I'm so excited, and it is time to say goodbye to all those jackets and sweaters, and hello to the shorts and t-shirts. I wanted to update my summer workout wardrobe for the long haul without, you know, spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince, and I am in love. Quince is your go-to place from everything from premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless, 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more. The best part of all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes those savings on to you. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. Okay, I bought the dreamiest pair of workout leggings and a bright pink workout top to match. Honestly, ladies, I gotta tell you, these leggings you need. The price cannot be beat, and I feel like a million bucks wearing this cozy workout friendly outfit. I've worn it for like 5 days straight. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/etm for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/etm to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/etm. Okay, friend, I want to know, what are your money goals this year? Are you saving to buy a house or maybe a wedding or a dream vacation to somewhere tropical? If that's you, please, please take me with you. Or maybe you want to just grow your emergency fund because, let's be real, life is expensive. I want to make sure you reach your goals, so you need Monarch. That's why the Wall Street Journal named it the best app for growing your savings. Monarch is the top-rated, all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. You can create custom budgets, track progress towards your financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/etm. Here's what I love. Monarch is the most customizable budgeting app. You can change the layout of your dashboard. You can go between light and dark mode. You can create custom budgets and notifications. You can set up all of these automatic rules for your transactions and notifications, and so much more. Monarch is obsessed with constantly improving their product. Get this. They release updates every 2 weeks, and they even allow customers to submit suggestions, vote on requested features, and view the product roadmap. This, my friend, is totally original. Plus, they will never sell your data to third party or show you ads. I think that's really important. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it is the top-rated personal finance app. And now, listeners of this show get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/etm. That's monarchmoney.com/etm for your extended 30-day free trial. We're continuing down this journey of talking to 10 different experts, and I asked them their advice. If you only did one thing with your money, what would you do? And We've covered some great ones so far. Sex expert, money health expert, therapists, career experts, lots of different advice. And I don't know about you, but I think it's really fascinating to hear what people say. I ultimately wanted to record the conversations and be able to play the actual recording to you, but a couple of people I talked with felt a little nervous about that. They didn't want their names to be out. They were happy to share the advice. So I thought, you know what? Okay, I will just transcribe their advice and then I will share it with you in this manner. So let's move on. Number six, this was a money expert and they said, know what you want and what you don't want in life and be flexible. Too many people are just throwing money all over the place because they think that's how they should do it. And they buy all of the stuff that doesn't actually really matter to you. If you'd rather travel for a year or two versus saving a ton of money in your retirement account, guess what? Only you get to make that decision. You get to decide how you spend your money. So why are you wasting time doing money steps that are somebody else's? I really like this advice. This feels like advice that I would give to you. And I think it's so important, particularly when you get to, well, I'm not going to put an age bracket in there. This is advice that's good any time in life. I know that I spent a lot of years making money choices that I thought would make me look good, make me look successful, make me feel good. Maybe, if I'm going to be honest, cover up some of those holes I felt just internally in myself as a person. And you know what happens? It doesn't end up working out very well. I went into lots of debt and it took me years to climb out of it. And really what I was in search of was feeling good about myself, not the stuff that I ended up buying. But I love what this expert pointed out, this idea of, he said, you know, if you'd rather travel for a year or two versus saving a ton in your retirement, that's okay because you get to make those money decisions. I really like that advice because I want you to have permission to be human, to do things with your money and not just save. Saving is great, obviously, emergency fund and retirement savings, but you get to decide what you want your life to look like. And it doesn't have to look like anybody else's version, nor do you have to explain to them why you're making certain money choices. And I think there's a real freedom that starts to happen when you say, this is the vision that I have for my life. And I might not be there yet, but I'm making decisions that are helping me get there. And I don't care. I'm putting blinders on and earplugs in to what anybody else thinks about my money situation. So I really like that advice. And I think if you've not done this exercise before where you write out, what is the vision for my life? Not just your goals, but really, what do you want your life to look like? How do you want to feel? Where do you want to live? What do you want to do with your free time? All of these it's like uncovering, right? It's uncovering this life that you want to live. This process is just so important. Then looking at the numbers, looking at the money you have and saying, okay, how do we take what we have and how do we plug it into this equation to get to where we want to be?
Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of The Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to The Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
Talking about money is hard. You know this already. All over the world, people are taught to never talk about money, politics, sex, or religion in polite company. On 50 Fires, a podcast about money and meaning from executive producers Chip and Joanna Gaines, host and financial conversationalist Carl Richards will remove money from that list by having frank, funny, and often difficult conversations about money, the kind we're all told not to have, with guests from all walks of life. In each episode, Carl will invite a new guest to answer the question, "What does money mean to you?" Their answers will reveal much more than their attitudes about money, spanning revelations about identity, community, faith, family, and the true meaning of wealth. Tune in to hear deep conversations about money and the meaning it holds in our lives. You can find 50 Fires on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Want to know the number one money question I'm asked? It's how to get started investing without being overwhelmed. So if you're asking yourself the same question, then you have to check out the Investing for Beginners podcast. The hosts, Dave and Andrew, they break down investment terms and strategies in a way you can finally understand. I love that they're making investing accessible, and they have an entire podcast dedicated to helping you invest better. Even if you're not ready to start investing, they explain the stock market and financial updates so you can really understand what is being said on the news. If you're ready to learn more about investing, I'd recommend you start with two of my favorite episodes. Listener Q&A, how do you start investing with $1,000, where they explain how you get started right away. And Back to Basics of Building Your Portfolio, where they explain how to build a portfolio from scratch. The Investing for Beginners podcast is a great way to start expanding your relationship with money. Find Investing for Beginners podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. So we're on to expert number 7. This is another money expert. And they said, if you pick one way to invest, I want you to just do it. You can complicate it later. So if you have a 401k, do that. If you're self-employed, open a SEP IRA or a solo 401k and do that. If you don't have either option, pick a Roth IRA. Find a fund or two, target date, or a low-cost index fund. Contribute each month and don't worry about stock picking. So I think this was great advice. And she was talking about pick something, pick one way and start doing it and don't overcomplicate the process. It's really easy to, especially with all of the information and social media, and you might listen to other podcasts and read other blogs. Everyone is going to tell you what to invest in, and everybody is going to tell you the right way to invest. And it can be super complicated, particularly if you're new in your investing journey. You're like, I don't know. And what percentage? And I just don't know. And so I want you to find some way that resonates with you. Find, like she was saying, find a target date fund or a low cost index fund or something that is super approachable. Just pick that for now, start somewhere. Don't let that process hang you up. And then when you start to learn more and you learn more about investing and maybe your risk tolerance changes, you can go in and you can proactively make some changes. The next expert is a nutritionist. And the nutritionist said, I want everybody to know how money stress plays into your mood, sleep, working out, and nutrition. Can you separate who you are versus how much money you have? I love that they said this because this sounds like me. They said, chronic stress at night over money leads to bad sleep, which can lead to all sorts of health issues and just put you in a bad mood. You also don't need to spend a lot of money to take care of your body. Go for a walk, take a nice bath, watch YouTube videos on yoga, stretch your body, and eat plenty of protein or plant-based protein. That would be my advice. I like this. I fully will admit to you that I have lost a lot of sleep. I have been in bad moods. I have not taken care of my body in situations when I have been stressed about my money. And I kick myself every time because I know better, but my brain and my body's like, I just can't do it. All I can do is obsess over money and it just gets worse and worse. So I also like this advice that you don't have to spend a lot of money to take care of your body because there are so many lotions and potions and classes and so many things to do with your money that really your budget can start exploding without you really consciously being aware of it. But this advice, this is just good advice. Go for a walk. You would be so surprised at how calming and delightful a walk can be and how it can just snap your brain out of negative thinking about, especially if you've had a bad day or maybe something came up around your money. Maybe you missed a bill or your car ended up costing more money than you thought. Like, take yourself out for a walk and just let yourself not ruminate on that for even just a small period of time. I also have decided, I mean, this was partly because of COVID, but I was like, you know, there are so many great exercise videos on YouTube that are actually free, and there are way too many to choose from. So I found a couple people that I really enjoy, and we were spending well over $100 a month going to a yoga studio. And I love going to classes. Classes are a little bit harder for me. I am partially deaf. I'm deaf in my left ear, so it's very hard for me to localize sound. It's also very hard for me if it's a noisy environment. I can't hear the teacher a lot of the time, especially if they have a soft voice. So for me, working out at home has just been fantastic because I can turn the volume as loud as I need. I can start and stop and just enjoy a class in a different way. Plus, then we're saving the money not having to go to the yoga studio. I'm in by no means saying don't support your local studios. Absolutely, if that's something you enjoy, do that. But what this expert is just talking about is the role that money stress plays into your overall being as a human, and just to be consciously aware that there are some choices you can make. The last two quote-unquote experts that I talked to, these were fun. So the next one is I talked to an 85-year-old grandpa of six, and he lit up when I asked him this question about what money advice would you give. And he said, I let money get in the way of life in my last chapter of life, and I wish I could go back and get the life that I missed out on, not the money. He said, find your lane. Find what you love to do for work. Love the people around you and forget the rest. And he really, really emphatically wanted me to tell you that finding your lane is important. He talked about how when he was younger, he didn't know who he was and he felt really susceptible to how other people thought he should live his life. And he did a couple of careers in his life and he made decent money, but he wasn't happy inside as a person. And as he worked up and up in those careers, he made more and more money and he just wasn't happy. He missed out on so much of life and he spent time working. He worked on weekends and he barely made it to his kids' soccer games and plays and different things they were in. He said he never went to a back to school night and he was hardly home for dinners. And he got to a point where he was making enough money. He didn't have to keep working that same kind of crazy schedule, but he felt like if he didn't, then his family wouldn't value him as much or he wouldn't look as successful to his friends. And so he's like, gosh, I really wish I could get that life back. I really wish, he said, there were trips that he wanted to go on. And he had a brother that passed away a few years ago, and he had this idea of going on these brotherly trips every year. And he was going to pay for those trips. And he'd even mapped out a few different destinations that he wanted to go to. And he just never made it happen. And he felt so guilty about this. And he said, you know, I'm in my last chapter of my life, and I just really wish I could have taken some moments and just live life and not be so obsessed over the money. So I really felt for him. He was so adorable, such just genuine. I mean, you just wanted to hug him. Just such a great, great grandpa. The last piece of advice I got from a 10-year-old girl in my town that I actually ran into when I was out for coffee. She was having a non-caffeinated drink with whipped cream and chocolate chips, and she was so sweet. And I thought, oh, do I dare ask her? But her mom was talking to me, and we were talking about actually the podcast. And I thought, you know what? I'm just going to ask her. I'm really curious to hear what her advice would be. She told me this: I save all my allowance each month to spend it however I want. Sometimes it's ice cream, sometimes it's a cookie, sometimes it's my favorite beverage, and sometimes it is a ticket to the movies. I just spend it on stuff that makes me happy. And she said it again so emphatically, and she lit up when she talked about spending it on ice cream and cookies and tickets to the movie. And I love this advice. I thought this was just such a great way to end this episode, to remind you that spending money on stuff that makes you feel good, that makes you happy, that is an important piece of what I call a mindful spending plan. That is saying, okay, I'm going to use my money super intentionally towards my goals and yes, to pay my bills and whatever else you have to do. But I'm going to take a small piece of money. Maybe it's tiny. Maybe it's $20 a month, or maybe it's $100, whatever it is for you. You know what? I'm just going to go spend it on something that I really want to do, something that makes me feel happy. And in that process, I want you to reframe your thinking, because a lot of us will say, I'm going to go waste my money, or I'm going to go spend my money and just know that I've kind of lost that money. Oh, I don't want you to have those brackets. I want it just to be, this is the amount of money I have available to me, and I am going to go do something super enjoyable with it. There's going to be no guilt, no shame, no judgment. Just, I'm going to go get that ice cream that I freaking love, and I'm going to eat it from top to bottom, and I'm going to feel like a five-year-old kid, and I'm just going to be so happy in that moment. I want you to embrace that. I want you to embrace what this 10-year-old little girl is all about. Maybe, just maybe, she has it figured out about money. And maybe we have everything backwards. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, do me the highest favor possible. Share this episode with a few friends, family members. Get them in to the Everyone's Talking Money universe. This is how we can keep the show going for many years to come. As always, you can head to the show notes for all the links to our episode sponsors. These sponsors, my friend, these sponsors are what keeps this show viable for many years to come as well. So please go over, give them some love, check out everything that is so gracious to sponsor the show. All of the products and services that I recommend are things that would pass my muster test, and many of the products and services that I use myself. All right, I will see you back here, my friend, in a few days for a brand new episode. Until then, I hope you stay happy.